God's word for our consideration this morning. God's word to nourish us. God's word to strengthen us. God's word to guide us as we walk on the path of life in this world is from the gospel lesson. And I'm going to read a few verses here toward the end of the text about spiritual blindness. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world. For the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were near him and heard him say this asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." So far, God's word for our consideration this morning. I want you to think about the word blindness. And I want you to think about physical blindness at first. I want you to think about what you see now that you wouldn't see if you were blind. Years ago, there was an episode of MASH when Hawkeye Pierce, who was fond of the ladies, was asked to help stoke the stove in the middle of the tent of the ladies. So he went in there, stoked the fire, and he took a piece of wood and he placed it in the fire, and whoosh! Sparks flew and into his eyes, and he couldn't see. And he screamed and hollered, of course, like every one of us would do. And they bandaged him up and put a bandage around his eyes, and they had to lead him around the camp every single day for a period of time. And then they sat down and they unfurled the bandage around his eyes, and he saw exactly what he had heard with his ears, the beauty that was surrounding the camp, the beauty in people. And though he was blind, he could still hear, and though he was blind, he couldn't see. And I want you to think about that blindness that would come over you and that you would not see. And then I want you to think about the spiritual blindness. The spiritual blindness that lives in us continually. The spiritual blindness that drives us to the cross. That drives us and brings us to Jesus to bow at his feet. Brings us to celebrate the sacrament, brings us to hear his word of life, his word of peace, his word of joy that we hear each and every day or night that we gather in God's house to hear his word. And I want you to think about that spiritual blindness being eradicated from your life, taken away. Even though we live in a world that has spiritual blindness, that lives in a world that the spiritual focus has been taken away. We were in Bible class and we were talking about certain churches in our world, not naming any churches, but they call themselves churches. Yet there's no talk about sin and grace. There's no talk about how we are deprived of our spiritual wellness. And you see, that's what happens in our lives. We're sinful creatures. We sin. We sin daily. And we come to God's house to be forgiven. We're forgiven. And what happens when we walk outside the church? We do the same thing over and over and over again. And that's why Peter said to the Lord, "How many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times?" And the Lord said, "No, infinite number. And this is what we hear that focuses our mind and our eyes and our lives on, is that spiritual focus that we have in Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 12, the writer of the Hebrews says, "Fix your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of your faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame." You see, Jesus went to the cross for us. That Jesus went to take our sins on his shoulders. The sins that have driven us here, Jesus put them on his shoulders. And in his life, and he died for us. He shed his blood so that we would have eternal life and forgiveness of sins. What joy that brings to us. But sometimes we do lose our focus because things in the world just catch up to us. And things that we don't even, we don't even see coming at us. We think everything is fine and good, and there's no bumps, there's no bruises, there's no curves, and then all of a sudden we get the phone call. Someone died. Someone close to us has died. We just drop to our knees. Everything is drained from us. Even the thoughts of the spiritual focus can be taken away from us. Those hills, those curves, those things that come up into our life are driving us to Jesus, to hear his word of peace. He tells us, "In the world you have tribulation, but take care, I have overcome the world." Jesus has overcome everything for us. He has overcome COPD. He has overcome cancer. He has overcome broken bones. He has overcome broken lives. He has overcome death. And he has made us whole to give us our focus. When running in a race, the athlete is told, focus. Focus on the finish line. Don't focus about the ones who are running next to you. Focus on the finish line. Our son Paul was running cross country in International Falls. And we would go to his meets. And every time that I would see Paul, I would run with him. And I would yell at him and scream, "You're doing good, you're doing good. Everything, keep focused, keep going, keep going." And he would give me the look like, "Dad, shut up." So we were in my truck and we're going, I can't remember where we're going, and I said, "You know, Paul, you know when you run those races and I keep screaming at you and hollering, you know, you're doing good, keep it up, keep it up. Do you still want me to do that?" He looked at me, he says, "Yes, Dad. Every time you do that, I move up five places." But it's keeping the focus. Keeping the focus on the finish line. When I ran cross country for Duluth East, there were no classes. There was only one race. Well, there were two races. There was the junior varsity race and the varsity race. And this one race, I got to race varsity. It was the Swan race, and we ran at Eager Golf Course. If you ever were in Duluth, you know what it was. And there was one big tree at the top of the hill, and we ran all over the place, and we ran up the hill, and that tree was the point where you turn around and you start running back down the hill, and you could see the finish line. You could see the finish line. To keep your focus on the finish line. And my focus, it was probably the second to the last, was looking at that finish line and saying, Lord, let me finish. Let me finish. And he would allow me to finish that race. Now, when we are in this world, we are to focus on the cross. It's easy to focus on the cross during Lent, during Easter. It's easy to keep your focus on the cross during Advent, during Christmas. It's easy to set your eyes on the cross, Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when you're sitting in the pew. It's easy to set your eyes on Jesus and the cross that is set before you when you suffer sickness, when you suffer a loss and death, when something isn't going right. But when everything is going creamy and everything seems to be just fine, we start to lose our focus. That's when our focus needs to come back and be focused on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. To focus on him who has given us life. Because we're only able to see spiritually and faith-based because Jesus gives us that faith to grab hold of. He gives us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit grabs hold of us and teaches us about Christ. The Holy Spirit lifts us up and encourages us to see with spiritual eyes, with faith-based eyes, Jesus as Lord and Savior. Without the Holy Spirit coming into our hearts and lives and lifting us up and encouraging us, we're unable to see. So the Holy Spirit has a job to do. He's got to take stubborn people. And all of us are stubborn in our ways. Sometimes we're more stubborn than we care to believe. And that Holy Spirit comes in and wraps his hands around us and pulls us to Jesus and enables us to see clearly, to see that he is power and strength, to see that this Jesus lived and suffered. And you heard some of the suffering that Jesus went through with the Pharisees. The Pharisees were saying, how can such a sinner do these miracles? You see, their eyes were clearly blinded by Jesus. They couldn't see. They couldn't see who he was. But we see. We see in the Bible. We see in the scriptures who Jesus is and what Jesus says. That he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can come to the Father except through him, except through this Jesus, whom the writer of the Hebrews tells us to focus on, to focus as we live our lives, as we face the finish line. And I'm more brought to the realization of that finish line now than I was 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, where I saw it so far in advance. Now, each time that I help with a funeral, I see the finish line. Each time I open up the scriptures, I see the finish line. The finish line for the Figgy male is very young. Our daughter-in-law has an aunt that does this genealogy. And she went through the Figgy line, the Figgy male line, and saw, of course, my father died the night before his 65th. His father died in his early 30s. His father died in his early 50s. And she said to me, Scott, we got to keep you healthy. I keep looking at my life, age 71. You know, there's a lot of people that are dying younger than me. To keep the focus. To keep the focus on Jesus. As Jesus is Lord and Savior. Seems to be hard every day. But as we leave that in God's hands and start opening up the scriptures, start opening up the Bible to read every single day of our lives, we're enabled, we're nourished, we're nurtured, we're lifted up, we're encouraged, and we see Christ as He is, our Lord and Savior, and in Him we have eternal life. In Christ's holy name, amen.